Hey, what's up, my friends? Welcome back to the Pilgrimage Podcast. My name is Joshua Luke Smith, and this is a space for the curious, creative, contemplative souls. It is good to be together again. You might have noticed that we have no intro music to this episode, and well, that's just for a very simple reason. I wanted to dive straight in to this here final episode of the Kingdom Is Yours series. We've been on this journey for a couple of months and we've come to its close. The journey continues, but this chapter ends. And I wanted to mark it with what will be a much shorter episode, but a significant one. I wanted to mark it with a benediction, a celebration, a toast, a charge, a commissioning, a farewell, as we take these truths, these ideas, these prayers that we've explored over the last number of weeks, and we go into the world, into our lives, into our everyday, and we bear witness to their incarnation. We bear witness to the words becoming flesh. We see amongst us a deeper sense of beauty and transcendence, a being here and now. These aren't just lofty spiritual principles. These are, well, how does your Tuesday afternoon and Saturday morning look differently because of what we've explored? I'm going to read the Beatitudes like I do every week and spend some time just pausing and reflecting on Jesus's final phrase, rejoice and be glad. And then in closing, we're just going to go through each statement again and acknowledge the truths within it as a as a commissioning, as a reminder to ourselves of how we want to live and how we want to go into this world, impacting those around us. So, as I've done each and every week up until this point, let's read the Beatitudes. And he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice, be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You know, last week we explored this notion of persecution, of going against the current, of going against the tide, of doing something, saying something, living in such a way that exposes a better way of living, that reveals that perhaps the systems or structures at play aren't fulfilling the human potential for flourishing. And we can do that on a society level and on an individual, personal level. And even, I'm releasing this final episode before Christmas, even as we have Christmas, and some of you might find yourselves around meal tables with people that you feel persecuted by, that you feel that in your embracing of a different way of living, a different way of seeing the world, you're mocked, humiliated, misunderstood. Jesus says, blessed are you who are persecuted. And he says, blessed are those who are persecuted on my account for living out these words, for taking what I've said seriously, for believing that there is a kingdom that is here and that is coming, and that these two kingdoms, these kingdom of ego and darkness, and this kingdom of light and humility, they can't exist together. He says, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets before you. And I just want to linger very briefly on this, these words, rejoice and be glad. Rejoice and be glad. I don't think there's a more fulfilling way to live your life than with a disposition towards gratitude. Gladness, being glad, isn't someone who's happy, who's circumstantially happy. Being glad, like being joyful, is being so deeply rooted in a perspective that is transcendent of your circumstance, that the response to life you have isn't based upon what's going on around you, but on something that you've awoken to. When Jesus says your reward is great in heaven, he's asking us to reposition how we do what we do and why we do it. In the scriptures, Jesus said, don't even let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Do all that you do with such humility, because your reward isn't going to be given to you by the very structures and systems that you've already realized are incompetent and incapable of bringing true fulfillment. If you're seeking a reward, let's just say you're seeking reward from a boss, a manager, a peer, because just their approval would mean so much to you. Jesus is saying, you've already realized, you already know that if you live your way based upon receiving affirmation from people as your means of feeling worthy of the very oxygen you're breathing, live by the sword, die by the sword, live for the praise of others, die by the lack of praise, die by the criticism of others. How deeply is your security rooted? Is it circumstantial? Is it superficial? Is it shallow? Or is your reward rooted in something that can never be taken from you? See, heaven isn't this idea of like this weird, lofty ghost town in the clouds that we go when we die. The kingdom of heaven is the manifestation of God's rule and reign on earth as it is right now. So we get to receive the reward right now. In fact, you receive the reward every time you deny yourself the reward in a context that doesn't fulfill you. When you say to yourself, that praise from that person isn't going to fulfill me, so I'm going to live tomorrow without lack, but with fulfillment, because I'm so centered upon the joy and the gladness that comes from being someone that is loved beyond what they can and can't do. That's a level deeper. You've just gone a level deeper. You've just received what no one can take from you. When Jesus started his work, I've talked about this before, when Jesus started his work, it was in the most theatrical way. He was baptized in water. When he came out of water, the clouds opened up, it says, and a voice spoke out saying, this is my son who I love, in whom I'm well pleased. Jesus received the affirmation. Jesus received the reward before he did anything, because there was nothing he could do that would make his father, God, love him anymore. And so it's true with us. The Beatitudes lead us away from the cyclical, self-serving lifestyle of needing something that we already have. Rejoice and be glad. Rejoice and be glad. They persecuted the prophets before you. Yeah, the systems at play here have never known what to do with people like us, with people who aren't playing that game, with people who aren't building the structures that serve one person at the expense of the other. The prophets, they lived this life and they paid the ultimate cost for it. So blessed are you who have seen deeper, who have transcended, who have gone to a whole nother level. So blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom. Blessed are those who are empty of themselves, empty of ego, for they are full of love, and they are full of God, and they are full of empathy, and they are full of compassion. Blessed are the empty, for they are full. And blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are those who have recognized that not all is as it should be, that there is pain and suffering amongst us, and that they do not deny it. They do not try to find silver linings in the moments where no silver lining could make it any better. Blessed are those who don't wipe away tears but let them linger, because they know the tears themselves carry the healing that we need. And blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who don't need to possess something to own it. Blessed are those who are able to look at the night sky in awe and wonder and receive it like a invaluable work of art upon their walls, but without buying it, are able to inherit all that is theirs because of it's a gift, it's a gift, it's a gift, it's a gift. Blessed are those who live in such a way that nothing is out of reach, because everything is a gift. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are those who have stopped snacking on self-gratification. Blessed are those who have stopped going the easy way. Blessed are those who have allowed themselves to feel the hunger that comes with dependency. Blessed are those who are doing the work of restoration and justice in society, who have given away their own lives to fight for someone else's. They shall be truly satisfied, because they know that it's not in being full of something you're satisfied, but being hungry, you're truly awake, truly alive, and truly anticipating. And blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are those who forgive, because they know in forgiving they reorder reality. They move from a system of law and justice to a country, a terrain of grace and mercy. Blessed are those who give away what they have received. And blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are those who have done the work of going into the corners of their soul where pain and trauma still lingers, so that they could clear the lens in which they see the world, that God wouldn't be defined by experiences of affliction and abuse from others, but that God would be revealed as loving and kind, and therefore the manner in which they see everything would be defined with a sense of goodness and hope and beauty. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who understand true peace comes when we confront injustice, when we confront that which isn't restorative, which isn't reconciling. Blessed are those who acknowledge that something has to change for true restoration to take place. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom. And blessed are those when others revile you and persecute you. Blessed are the persecuted. Blessed are those who have learned to suffer. Blessed are those who have learned that to swim upstream always comes with a cost. To go against the current and to stand upon conviction isn't easy. Blessed are those who have discovered that hope can only be truly actualized as a result of suffering. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. My friends, this way of life isn't easy. This way of life isn't predictable. This way of life isn't what many of us were taught. But this way of life, this manifesto, is what I've truly believe yields fulfillment and abundance. And I want to commend you and encourage you and challenge you to spend the rest of your life, as I will alongside you, to spend the rest of our lives applying these phrases, these teachings, so that we would both live here, fully present, fully here, experiencing the wonder of simply being alive. And we would do the work that we have to do in the world, the work of justice and righteousness and restoration, so that when we leave, when our time comes, we leave this world more healed and whole than it was when we first got here. May we have the courage and the conviction, the passion and the compassion to spend our days living out these words, seeking the life that Jesus brought, the life of abundance. Blessed are you, my friends. The kingdom is yours.